Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Elizabeth, I want to take each and every one of our readers back in time.
Oh, okay.
We're going.
Does that include me too, or just the readers?
And you, and me.
I'm excited.
Zane in the room, readers at home. We're going back to our teenagehood.
Oh no, why?
Because it's a group suffering.
Okay.
I want to take us all back to a time, and if you can recall, say being a teenager and seeing someone trying to interact with someone of the opposite sex a few ages above you.
Ooh.
And how totally inept, well, at least I was in that endeavor. You know, if you're in grade 9 and there's a girl in grade 10 or 11
uh-huh.
in your era and just I have a dog. just your tiny little teenage brain can't handle. Because I went through high school doing a lot of production, so theater, a lot of shows and all that, and you get mushed together with all different grades, and just a terrible, awkward time of just wow. Look at those. They're women in comparison because they're older. Wow.
Not to mention the fact that we mature a hell of a lot faster.
Yes, that's fun.
See, I can't relate in that way because I was always assumed to be much older than I was, and so I was always, you know, getting myself into trouble chatting to people who were quite a bit older than me. And then they're like, oh, you're only 14. I'm going to back away slowly into the bushes
now.
Yes,
fair enough.
Yeah.
But, very, very awkward, embarrassing.
Look,
part of life.
As a teenager, like actually having to relate to somebody who you have a crush on is very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Like regardless of how old you are. I always used to find that I had crushes on gay men without realizing that they were gay.
That's a classic.
And so I was doing like my best flirty eye-batting, and I was thought because we were being touchy-feely that it meant that they liked me, but it was just because they were very affectionate and a little bit femme.
I don't know how many teenagers we have listening to this pod. But what would your advice be to those teenagers now going through the same thing?
Oh God, like this too shall pass. Like,
yes.
I don't think there's any advice I can give you that will help make teenage communication easier.
Yeah, it's a bit like most things in your life are embarrassing or awkward or difficult. This is just another one to put on the tab.
But also,
sorry, kids.
Don't grow up, it's a trap.
Yeah, take your time. Take your time growing up at least.
Stop wishing away those years because you'll get to your 30s and 40s and be like, those were the days. Become that person.
All I wanted to do today was remind everyone listening of that one moment in their history when
so
they
you've
totally...
embarrassed us all.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yep. This is it's a group effort, this one.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Sorry about that, everybody. This is something I was reflecting on earlier
group
today.
Group therapy through trauma. That's what we bring to you.
I'm
Liz Best.
I'm Tom Harris. Hello, everybody. I hope you're well.
This is one of our main episodes. We're recording at night, which is strange.
Yes.
Normally, we record during the day on a Saturday, but thanks to some lovely building works in the last episode, we decided to postpone this one so that there wasn't hammers and jackhammers and buzz saws going off.
We are nocturnal creatures today.
I'm not used to it. I'm usually a bit peppy from my weekend,
we'll
and I'm kind of a bit more mellowed today.
See how the energy changes. But it is a main episode, and a main episode is, as everyone knows, say it at once, means we have a guest.
Yay. Yes.
And again, our guest today is again calling in via Zoom. Hopefully we don't have any major problems with that. She's an accountant.
Yes. It was very emphatic that we mentioned that.
Yes.
So that we can make a joke out of it. She's an accountant, friend of the podcast. Her name is Faith.
Woo!
Hi,
Come on
Faith.
Down, Faith.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet everybody.
Nice to re-meet you after we had to send you home thanks to the construction work on the weekend.
That was the most tense 15 minutes of my life. I was like, will they stop? Will they not stop? Who's to say?
Every 2 seconds, it seemed like they would stop and we're like, shall we go? Can we go? Can we go? Bang, bang, bang. Okay. All right. We'll just call it.
It's hope. Hope that kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you well, Faith?
Yes. Yes. It's a day that happened. Yes. So that's what we can take from that is that not all days have to be cracker amazing days. Sometimes they can just be days.
And
they
you know what? You never have to have this day ever again.
Ever again.
It's true.
Ever again. It's in the past.
It's moving forward. It's very true.
So, Faith, you've got a story for us today, but before we do that, we need to run you through the rules, which I'm sure you're aware of because you have listened to the podcast before. Our first rule is you have to have a fake name for the person slash people that you are incriminating or talking about.
Yes, I have one.
Great.
Excellent.
Tick. What is your fake name?
My fake name is Jay.
Now, can I ask, is Jay close in sound to the actual person's name? Because we have...
No.
Great.
Well done.
Because we've found that every time people have names that are similar, those are what we call the fuck-up episodes. Zane has to get his producer hat on firmly and bleep away.
So three gold stars to you, Faith, for choosing a different enough alias.
Rule number two, Thomas.
Look, if you figure out, those of you readers at home, if you figure out who Faith is talking about and the any other people that happen to be sucked into the story, don't be a dick, basically, and go outing them their real names, professions, and all that.
No doxing.
Yes, that's we're not here to do that.
And rule number three that I am obligated by the lawyers to say: no threats on air. As soon as the episode is over, feel free to threaten should you need.
Faith, when Liz said that, your face on Zoom went really a little bit worried. It's not a rule just for you.
No.
The no threats rule is for everybody. It's not just one we've designed for you. Don't worry. It's not.
Faith, it's mostly me. It's mostly for me.
It's not you, it's Liz. So with rules out of the way, I love some rules. I suppose we hand it over to Faith to pick up and run with her story.
Yeah,
and,
tell us.
So share as much as you're comfortable sharing.
Situate us at the start. Where does this story begin?
Okay, so this story begins in high school.
Fantastic. How appropriate.
Fantastic.
That actually wasn't planned. Like, I know that sometimes people go, we totally didn't plan that. We totally didn't plan that.
I was sitting here the whole time, you're talking like, oh boy, do I have a story for you.
You beauty. I am rubbing my sweaty hands in glee and anticipation, Faith. Please take us away.
In high school, I think I was 14, I met a boy, which is normally the start of a very great story. And if I'm being honest, most of the time through high school was actually pretty good. It was actually pretty good. And as normal teenagers do, you know, you're figuring life out, you're figuring yourself out, other people, your emotions, like how you sort of process things. And we did all of that stuff together. So we were sort of at the start, I'll let everyone know, we were together for 7.5 years.
Well done.
That is I was going to say long distance, but that has a completely different connotation. Yes. That is a long-term high school relationship.
It's very long. And so the first like 3 years, so pretty much like from like grade 10 onwards while we were in high school, it was pretty great. And those around me were sort of going through the trials of dating in high school. And I sort of really didn't have to do that because I'd found someone who was really, really great and we were still together. And so, I missed out on a lot of that because I was in a relationship and I was really happy. So things sort of started to amp up, I guess, when high school finished. He was also a grade above me. He finished high school much like earlier than I did, so that's an entire year before I did.
That can be quite awkward when that happens.
Because, yes, particularly at that age, 1 year difference
is
between betwixt teenagers may as well be a decade.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean squat once you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, but 1 year difference and he graduates ahead of you, oh boy, big difference.
Yes, very big difference. So my last year in high school, obviously, it's very stressful. You know, you've got exams. I was trying to finish high school. I was also bullied relentlessly in high school. So, like,
same,
that was
high
great.
Five.
So I was kind of dealing with a lot of, like, emotional stuff and sort of figuring out people and friendships and stuff like that. And he was kind of already done. And he didn't have any of those problems, so he wasn't a super kind of help about it, because he just sort of didn't really know how things went. And expecting emotional maturity from a 17 to 18 year old boy, I mean, really?
I'm shaking my head right
zero,
now. It's
zero,
just impossible.
0% chance.
No,
zero.
It's just not going to happen.
No.
So we sort of carried along, and I finished high school and we were still together. And at that point, you know, we'd been together for about 4 years, I think. And people were starting to be like, oh, you know, like, are you going to move in together? Are you going to get married? Is this, you know,
oh,
a
God.
Beautiful high school?
I forgot, like, that people did that when you'd been together long term that young. Like,
yeah, it started, it sort of started around 18 or so. And it's a lot when you're a kid, because you're still, like, 18 years old, you're still a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you're a baby. So, and we would be like, no. And we sort of brush it off. And then the sad sort of portion, beginning of the sad portion, I don't know if I mentioned at the start, it's a sad one. So at 19 years old, freshly, you know, at uni, loving life, sorting it out, I find out that I am pregnant.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which, even at 19, you're still a kid, and it's still a big deal.
My Absolutely. Mother had me when she was 19, so
yeah,
it's a big
Power
deal.
To her.
It's a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So obviously you have to make some decisions in life when you're 19 years old and you still live with your parents, and you know, you're like, is this what I want to do? I don't really know what's going on. I have to make a pretty big choice. So
how did you feel when you found out that you were pregnant?
I cried uncontrollably for about 3 days.
Yeah.
Yep, that'll do it.
I had a feeling, I had a vibe, went to a friend's house because I was too scared to do it at home. And then I did the test, found out I was pregnant, bawled my eyes out, called my mother, important, you know, called my mom.
Of course.
And then I had to call him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he still lived at home, I still lived at home. I had to call him, and it was late at night, and I was like, dude, I really need to talk to you about something. And he was like, can it wait? I was like, no, it can't. And I basically had to, like, convince him that this was really important, I really need to talk to him about it. And I went over and I told him, and he kind of didn't do anything. He was just like, oh. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what do we do? And I was like, I don't know. And, you know, so we had to kind of make a decision about whether or not we wanted to be parents yet.
Gee.
Or not.
As teenagers.
Yeah, 19, 20 years old.
Literally still teenagers.
Yes. So it's, like, it's definitely not a decision that I would wish on anybody.
Mm-mm.
It is really, really hard. And it was just kind of a lot. And ultimately, we decided not to be parents, because we were still young and I had things I wanted to do, and he was an apprentice, and it was not a vibe.
Yep.
No.
His family are quite religious.
Oh.
A wrinkle in the tail.
So yeah, his family's quite religious, so he just never told anyone.
Oh, I guess that's one way to compartmentalize
that.
By anyone,
do you mean his parents?
Yep.
Family, anyone? Yeah, okay.
Anyone. No support network. Great,
zero
cool.
People.
That's an emotionally healthy
not
way to do
not things. Even a not even a best friend or a
no.
If he did, he never told me.
No.
He basically just didn't tell anyone, and
gee whiz.
I like obviously my parents knew, and my friend that I was at her house when I found out, and surprisingly enough my boss, because I work in casually and I got the phone call with the blood, like they do a blood test to confirm it, I got the call with the results that confirmed it, and I of course was distraught, and my boss was really lovely and she was like, what happened? And I was like, here's the skinny. So
what a good
it.
Boss. I mean, it's a shame that's not the status quo, but it is not the status quo.
It's not. So anyway, so basically that happened. He didn't really tell anyone. We didn't talk about it. He stayed with me like the day of, and then I was basically on my own after that point. And it's a lot for a person to process.
So he told nobody, you'd told people, and he stayed with you just on the day of your appointment, and then no support after that.
So
Jesus. So I mean, obviously I don't want to go into too much detail because that could be a very sensitive topic, but I kind of just wanted to know how you felt after it happened. Did you feel like you'd made the right decision? And, you know, like I've heard from friends of mine, so I know at least two or three people who've had to go for a termination appointment, and all of them had confirmed after it happened that they'd made the right decision. And that's so lucky, because that's not the case for everybody.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. Your body kind of goes through a lot in a short period, because your like hormones are completely unbalanced. Mm-hmm. So like part of you, well, at least for me, part of me really mourned it and I was really sad about it. But I think a large part of that is due to the hormonal changes that your body goes through.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like even people who are trying to get pregnant and whatnot, like the hormonal changes that you go through, because your body and your brain are like programmed scientifically to make you want this.
So, and I know that like not... Disclaimer, not everyone agrees with my choice.
No, and that's a whole extra layer on top of that, that it's not universal pro-choice. There are a lot of people who are against that.
Yeah, so, but that was the choice that I made. Yes. I think it was a very, very good decision. And we kind of moved on. And from that point, I was like, look, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, we've been together, I think, 4 or 5 years at that point. And I was like, what are we doing? Like,
well, it would cause you to reevaluate a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Pushing yourself that far into the future before you planned it.
Yeah, I definitely felt like, I definitely felt very different after the appointment. I felt like, I think a bit more of an adult at that point, because I was like, okay, like I've made a pretty adult decision here.
Yeah.
And was it also because he didn't tell people, that he didn't, I don't know, meet you halfway?
I definitely sort of a recurrent theme in the relationship pretty much until it ended was that I oftentimes would have issues or have feelings about something and he just didn't. And as a result, I was the one who was either incorrect or had to sort it out, because I was the one with the issue. So it was kind of my thing to do.
And once you notice these things, it's very hard to unsee them.
Yeah. So I kind of fast tracked us a bit into like moving in together, because I was like, look, you know, like we've been together for this amount of time. Like, do you want to be with me? Is this what we're doing? Because I don't want to, like, people are asking questions. There's a certain level of obligation that we have here. I feel like I've spent 5 years with someone and he's pretty content to just keep living his life as it is, and I'm not. And like, so like we moved in together, and prior to moving in together, he was very comfortable at home. Had a great life there. I mean, surely it was not without any, like, it's issues, but like, you know, he was very well taken care of at home.
Having dated someone who went straight from his mother's house to living on res at uni for a year to my house, there was a vast difference in the amount of maid service and pre-prepared food in the situations, to the point where I ended up saying that he had to go and live by himself before I would actually settle down with him.
You know, I don't blame you for that. It's
hard being someone's mum when you're dating them, isn't it?
Frustrating and comma.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely, I definitely was not quite prepared for the level of housewifiness that was required of me in the space. So, and I don't blame, I don't blame his parents for like his behavior or like the life that we lived, because I think that they were simply a product of their time and he was a product of them and stuff like that. So I sort of realized when we moved in together that like he had this very set idea about what he wanted his life to be like, and I was not often consulted about what that is, and I was merely expected to be there.
That's not a partnership.
No.
Yeah, it's not really like, I wasn't really participating. I was just kind of there. So we lived in a house that he chose and a size that he chose because he needed a lot of extra space for his own personal things. And he just wanted to keep living the same life he was living at home.
Yeah. But
in this house. And he never really explicitly asked this, but it was basically my responsibility to kind of take care of the house because he didn't really see it, which is a common theme. And he planned his life and his time around himself. And then I also lived there. So
how fun.
Oh, it was great. It definitely was the worst experience of my life, and I would never do it again. But we basically fell into this routine, and I, to kind of put it in perspective, he was very distant and not exceptionally emotional. When I would try to talk to him about my feelings, he would be like, well, that's not what I meant to do, so it's kind of on you for like feeling that way.
I don't know if everyone at home felt Liz clench up then, if that rippled through space and time. Wow.
Yeah.
Is the button working? I want to hit the button.
I'm sure we can get it.
Yes. Yes.
This is why you had the no threats rule at the start.
Yes.
Did think that you probably wouldn't like him. So
no. That's all I've got. Nope, not into it.
Yeah. So he also his favorite technique to use if I did something that he did not like, such as go outside. He didn't really like my friends. He didn't
it
when I went places because he didn't trust other people. And he didn't like...
Again. I want it again.
So this is the stage in which we start. I'm like 20, 21 at this point.
And how long have you been together at towards the end?
This
6 years?
Like 6, 7.
We're at like 6... The last year was basically me trying to get out. So we're at like 6, 6.5 years at this point.
Yep. Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I sure am doing a lot of wifely duties for a man who hasn't even committed to that level to me yet.
Exactly. Mm. Like, did he even ever offer to do any of these things, or did he just go, well, why aren't you doing your job in the house?
If he did them, it was what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he would like make food that he wanted, or he would he would do the laundry, but mostly because he needed things done.
Would only ever do his own laundry, though. He'd do a load and he'd do a half load with only his clothes in it, because my girly clothes are too confusing and highfalutin to be able to, like, read the fucking label.
Can't have yours mingling with mine.
And he used to say that he couldn't. I was like, why didn't you clean the bathroom? And he's like, I just don't see mess like you do.
Oh, my God.
You've got special scent.
I just don't see mess. He didn't change the sheets on our bed in the entire 6 years that we were together.
Dear Lord.
When I moved in with Jay. I've avoided saying name because I'm worried about messing it up.
Yeah.
Basically, when we moved in together, I bought a queen size bed for us because he was still sleeping in the single bed that he had slept in all through his life.
Did we date the same person?
Yes. Maybe we some did.
We like had a sliding doors relationship with the same person.
We may have.
Yeah.
Every time someone is just like, that happened to me too, it makes me feel so much better because I'm like, oh, I wasn't overreacting. No. This is totally a thing.
Hence the point of this podcast. Yes. We bring your lonely story to the world and everyone goes, yes, me too.
Yeah. So it was just like he would kind of do things, but he would only ever clean the house if prompted.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing emotional labor on that level.
Yeah. Mm. So I would have to kind of tell him what to do, or I would have to be the police about it. You know, I would have to come and like check his work, because if I asked him to do something, he wouldn't do it properly.
Yeah.
Like if I asked him to clean the bathroom, he wouldn't do the job in its entirety.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is like a whole extra level, whereas not only are you doing all of the physical work in the house, but when you don't do it, you have to make sure that it gets done. And, you know, if they're like, these people, they sometimes just go, why can't you just tell me? And I'm like, it's not your job to police how that happens. They should know how to adult. You don't have to carry the load of making sure everybody else does everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're not you shouldn't have to raise your man.
No.
No. I definitely felt like a mother and I felt like a maid. And I actually don't think I have a particularly high standard of house cleanliness. I think I'm pretty like normal. But he just wouldn't see it, and he wouldn't do it unless he was asked by me.
Yeah.
And then if I did ask him, it was a big to do and a big song and dance about doing it.
Did he want a medal every time he actually did something?
No, he would just kind of huff and puff, you know, and like he just, yeah, it was only ever if I prompted it and only ever if I was like, we're doing this. Like, yeah. I did not feel as though he would unprompted do these tasks. And
did you ever get to the point that you wanted to Mexican standoff and just do nothing forever?
I did.
Yes.
I did do that, except I have to sleep in those sheets, and that was really gross. And
I would change if this is me now. So me back then did everything. Liz now would say, cool, so if you don't want to clean it, you don't get to use it. So if you don't change the sheets on the bed, you on the floor. If you don't clean the bathroom, you can't have a shower. And if you don't clean the house, you're not allowed in. Get out. Yep. I mean, there's flaws to that plan, and I recognize these flaws. But I would have been petty now.
It got really hard. When I would try to bring stuff to him, he would basically do exactly what I said before, where he would be like, well, it's not that big a deal, so you just need to like get over it or like process it or like come to terms with it. And I'm like, cool.
So gaslighting cool. too. Excellent.
Yes. I have never met a greater gaslighter in my entire life than that man.
Wow.
He was so good at it. I don't even think he knew when he was doing it.
No, most of them don't. They just think the world has a problem with me and I'm a victim all of the time. Why is everybody on my back about shit when it's, you know, it's their issue, not everybody else's.
Yeah. So, I basically was this man's mother for a good long while until I realized that I was dreadfully unhappy.
Yeah, babe.
And that this isn't how life is meant to be. It's not meant to be this hard. And I kind of, part of me was like, oh, you know, like, this is, everyone has problems, you know, like everyone's man doesn't know how to do anything because it's such a common issue. But when I started sort of talking to people about it, he did really alienate me from a lot of people, a lot of my friends, because he didn't like them. So if I would invite them over, because we lived in this huge, ginormous house and I would like people to come over and hang out with me and spend time with me, he would just ignore them.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, they would be in the house and
pretty poor behavior. Yeah, sorry.
Ignore them and, like,
I feel like they do this, though, so that you stop talking to the people who will be able to tell you that what he is doing is not right.
Mm.
That's exactly why he did it. He did not like my best friend because he knew that she wasn't happy. He knew that he could see what was happening and that her advice was for me to leave him. And so he was so rude to her, and he got inside my head about it that I basically stopped talking to her for like a year and a half, which is wild because we'd been friends for so long. And then I had like, he had got to me and like, we've sorted it out now. Like I talked to her about it and she could see what was happening to me. And she was just like, I knew what was happening and I did everything that I could. And I knew that it wasn't you. And like, he would like insult my parents and he wasn't really particularly supportive of me making new friends. If I wanted to like go out and hang out with my friends, he would get really upset and he would be like, I just don't trust other people. I'm worried that you'll get hurt. I'm worried, whatever. And I was like, I'm literally going 2 streets up the road to have a drink with my friends.
I'm worried that you'll be out of my sphere of control. Yep, so I can't be your puppet master anymore.
Yeah. And then if I did decide to do something that he did not like, his response would be to not talk to me.
Withholding affection. Mm. Classic. Classic.
And I mean for like
move.
Like 3 to 4 days.
Yep.
And there's only 2 of us in that house and it's awful. It's awful.
Yeah, because then your brain starts telling you to go crawling back to him to get that affection and talking back. So he gets exactly what he wants because he's a manipulative bastard.
Yeah. And like, I truly to this day do not think that he ever meant to do any of this on purpose, but that does not make it any less hurtful. And it does not invalidate all the times that I did try to raise with him that what he was doing was wrong and it was hurting me, and he minimized it every time. Like, yeah. If your partner is coming to you being like, you are doing X, it's making me feel Y, and we need to do Z to fix it, and you're looking at them being like, I don't understand.
Why are you so fucked up?
That's on you.
Yeah.
You need to do something about that, because if someone is coming to you with an issue, your response should not be that it's their problem for having an issue. Your response should be, my partner isn't feeling good and I want to work together to help them feel better in our relationship.
And look, so, I understand when some people probably haven't been criticized in their life, it can be hard to not immediately jump to being defensive. And this is me playing devil's advocate because, God, I fucking hate it when people won't own up to their mistakes.
Yeah.
But I'm acknowledging that if this is the first time in your life that someone has come to you and said that there's a problem and your immediate reaction is to get defensive, you need to start and look inward and figure out why that is your gut instinct.
Absolutely.
To get defensive. Because usually it's because you see a kernel of truth in there and you might need to address that. And it's hard. It is hard to step up and acknowledge when you are hurting somebody else, because no one wants to be told that they're hurting somebody else. But you cannot live your life constantly telling everybody that the problem is with them, because you'll leave a trail of really fucked up, you know, people that you've really hurt in your wake, and nothing will ever get any better for you. You
That's
will constantly
right.
have people.
The same problems will keep boomeranging back at you again and again and again, and you'll just keep batting women, like the women after women away if you don't learn. You'll just.
Yeah.
Do the work. If you do the work.
It's scary and it's hard.
It is hard, but it will make your life tenfold easier down the track. It just
will.
Think
of how fulfilling your relationships would be if you weren't a douchebag.
Truly. I got so tired of doing all of the emotional work for him when I would try to talk to him that eventually it was no longer fruitful for me to bring things to him. So he
That's
won.
That's exactly what he wanted. Mm, yep.
Yeah. So he won and I ended up basically in that house, and it was a big house and it was wonderful. And I have truly, I've said this before, I've truly never felt so alone in my entire life than I did living with him in that house. Oh. And I have been to that house after our relationship has ended, and that house was a prison, and I can't even drive past it.
No, well, it's trauma response now.
Yeah, I felt so small and so silenced that I had, and then I was embarrassed. Yeah. I was embarrassed that I'd let that happen to me. And like, that is something that I think a lot of people have found familiarity in that they've been like, they didn't, when they realized, they were so embarrassed that they had let that happen to themselves, because, you know, we hear about it all the time in the media, but I can say for certainty, it is really hard to see. It is really hard to see it when you're in it. And the only way that I came around to it is because my parents did not let go of telling me that there was a problem in the house. So it's like, to the story of how I got out, or at least to sort of preface how I got out, I realized that I was deeply, deeply unhappy with this man, and I didn't want to do this anymore, and that I needed to get out, but I didn't know how to do it, because anytime I would try to talk to him, nothing would happen. And so my mother used to come and stay with us, because she lives in Toowoomba, but she'd work in Brisbane sometimes, so she would stay in our spare room. We had plenty of room. Mm-hmm. So and he hated it.
Of course.
And she would come and stay with us, and this is sort of, as a little tangent, sorry, it's a big story. As a little tangent, my standard evening would go. I would come home from work, and I would be like, okay, you know, like, I have to make dinner before he gets home, so that dinner is ready when he does get home. And he would arrive home. I'm not going to say this about him, actually, because it's really sort of telling of who he is. Basically, he would arrive home, and I wasn't allowed to talk to him for 30 to 45 minutes after he got home.
I explain what my face is doing right now.
Sort of perplexed fury is the way I'll describe it. Sorry, everyone scream into the void. Okay, sorry, yep. Faith.
No, it's fine. I really wish I was making this up. I really, really do.
No, and look, honestly, we've had plenty of guests who've come on before who tell stories like this and go, I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand how I, strong, independent me, let this happen. But it's so slow. It happens so slow over such a long period of time that by the end of it, up is down and black is white and you have no fucking idea.
Yeah, it's...
And you do it so that he doesn't not talk to you again for a couple of days.
Yeah. So he would, he needed time to cool down after work. So I wasn't allowed to talk to him for about 30 to 45 minutes. He would come home, he would get a drink, he would go into his office, and I wasn't allowed to talk to him. And if I bothered him, he'd get really upset. And then dinner would be ready. He would take his plate, go back to his office, sit in front of his computer, eat his dinner. We had a perfectly nice dining table that we actually painted together. And I had explained to him when we moved in together that I had never owned a dining table or lived in a house that could have a dining table, and so I really wanted to eat at the dining table. It's quite special to me, and that was few and far between. So I would eat alone, he would eat, and then he would come out, deposit his plate. Sometimes he'd wash up, depends.
Deposit his plate.
Drop it
and
off.
Then he would go downstairs. He had an entire area downstairs that was his, and he would go downstairs and he would stay there all night. Sometimes I would go down and try to talk to him, but he mostly ignored me, and I never felt particularly welcome in that space. Sometimes he would invite over his friends, not tell me that people were coming over. And that was my life. That was my life.
I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. That's fucking horrible. And it just must have been like that Pavlovian response of every time he starts pulling away, you feel like you need to keep him happy and walk on those eggshells so that you don't get punished further. Like,
yep. And now I'm like, I've had a lot of therapy.
Well done you, as should we all.
So, and I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of how I felt and what happened to me. But I have a trauma response now to that behavior, that I am now working desperately hard to unlearn. But basically, if I had an issue or I wanted just a crumb of affection, if I wanted that man to speak to me, if I wanted anything, I was like, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
I know that well. That is a hard one to unlearn.
It's like, I'm like, the house has, if the house is perfect and the dinner is cooked and I don't talk to him within 30 to 45 minutes of him coming home and everything's ready, and then there'll be nothing for him to complain about and there'll be no issues and he'll spend time with me.
Yeah.
And you know what? He never did. Hot take, he never did.
No. This is the, like, that episode where my friend had a go at me because I was washing the stove with a, in a ball gown, because I was like, if the house is perfect, when he comes home, he's not going to yell at me about anything. In a fucking ball gown, Faith.
So, Faith, what brought this whole saga to an end? What finally did it?
What finally did it was my mother, who was coming to stay with us, had basically noticed that this behavior was really bad, and I would cry, call her crying all the time. She came over to stay, and I had become, at this point, I had become a raging alcoholic because I was miserable, and we went to the bottle shop to get wine for dinner, and then I sat in my car and I drank the whole bottle in my driver's seat.
Oh, baby.
My mum beside me, and I was in tears, and I was like, I need to get out and I don't know how. And I think I was out within 2 months. My mum was like,
I'm going to get this here done. Here we go, yeah.
Yeah. And credit where credit's due to another person in my life who I don't actually associate with anymore at the time. But he helped me get out because he helped me see that everything that my partner had convinced me, like, about myself was not true. I was like, no one will ever love me, no one will ever want me, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, that's untrue. And I definitely do. And what's happening to you is terrible. So, like, he did help.
Yeah.
Good man.
That I could see that I was like, you know what? I will be okay if I get out.
Yes.
And I had somewhere to go. I had to move back in with my parents. I had somewhere to go. And then I was like, okay. And then I just had to pick a time. And if anyone has ever gotten out of a situation like this, probably understands that feeling of, like, not bargaining, but that feeling of like, well, I can't do it then because it's Christmas. Well, I can't do it then because someone's birthday. And you do this, like,
excuse making. Yeah.
This, like, timeline where you're like, okay, when is the time? And I decided to do it in that period between New Year's Eve and his birthday.
Yeah. I was not going to say when his birthday was because, yes. But and then how did you do it?
I sat him down at the table and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm leaving you, basically, because I'd never broken up with someone. I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And he was so shocked.
How?
He was like, what? Are you kidding me?
But who will clean my floors? And yes, who will wash my dishes? And who will cook my dinners?
I still think to this day he's super, he does not understand why we broke up. So, yeah, I don't know.
The level of self-deception that those people have to go through in order to exist in their own little world is astounding.
Truly. So, like, I'm out now. I've been out for many years.
Wonderful. Well done.
And I know that he has also had another partner who left in a similar manner to me.
Mm.
So
I wonder at what point he's going to realize that it's not you, it's him.
No lessons being learned by this chappy. And in that vein, should we move on to lessons learned?
Yes.
Faith,
yes.
What do you learn from this whole unfortunate saga?
As much as it's like, obviously there's elements of what happened to me that I now see as someone who's been out of it several times as like emotional abuse.
Yes.
Mm. Which was not my fault. I do feel as though I have worked really hard on communication and communicating better in relationships and learning that, like, if you're trying to talk to someone and they're not getting it, at some point you have to let go.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to keep hurting yourself. And if you can, like, communication is a skill that everyone has to learn. And if you can put the time in about effective communication methods and it's still not working, it's not you.
No.
Yep.
Not you. So, So I definitely think that it taught me a lot about myself, and it taught me a lot about effective versus ineffective communication and, like, what types of conversations will work and what types of conversations won't work and what to do if it's not working. So
what I learned, which is a lesson that I have learned many times in my life, but if you find yourself slipping into the role of mother / father / parent, and when you have a discussion about that, nothing changes, nothing will ever, ever, ever change. That's the thing. You need to make sure that you're in a relationship where both people see it as their duty to look after your joint possessions.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't have to tell somebody when they need to wash some sheets or when they need to do the dishes. If you find yourself slipping into the role of caretaker when you're supposed to be a lover, that's almost certainly never going to work.
I reckon we could do a whole new episode just on lessons learned for this case. There's so many different things. But the one I'll stick to is, ladies and gentlemen and all and sundry, if you live with someone, show some respect for them and yourself and do some cleaning. Forget the other person. Show yourself some self-respect and get the Hoover out and do the floors. Show yourself some bloody respect, because sitting there is waiting for someone else to clean your mess, it's just you living in your own mess, you filthy motherfucker. Sorry, I'm getting carried away here. I am a neat freak, can you tell? And in my relationship, I do most of the cleaning, but that's fine because my girlfriend does other things in return.
This is the thing, and I've said this a million times, is that when you are in a relationship with someone, and it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, it's any kind of relationship, you both, you think of the relationship as a bank, and you both have to contribute, and it doesn't matter what currency that you contribute in, as long as both of you are contributing. So if some of you do the housework and one of you does the gardening and one of you does the cooking, if one person is continually depositing that currency in the bank and the other person is continually withdrawing without making any deposits in any love language currency, fuck them off. It's bad line of credit. Like, there's no way that's ever going to work out. Look, the only way that you can change people who are like this is when they're a baby. Like, changing nappies is the only time that you're ever going to make those people change. Like, it's butting your head against a wall. And also, if you are a friend on the outside looking at some of your friends doing these relationships, another big lesson that I've learned is don't stop telling them what they do deserve. Because eventually, when you're getting to the, 5-6 year mark, all of the little comments that were mentioned along the way will start adding up and adding up, and it may not look like it's doing anything at the time, but those comments add up to a ladder that enables them to crawl out of what's been happening. Would you agree, Faith?
I would absolutely agree. And I think, definitely stick by people who are like that, and also know that telling people to get out is in theory great and absolutely true, but it is difficult to understand how hard that is to do until you have really been in it. Because I think about all the times I should have left, all the times he did things that should not have happened, and I still didn't go, and people told me to leave, and it's really not, you kind of have to come there on your own, but it's definitely, don't leave them.
Just provide the support where and when you can, and eventually the message will get through. Faith, thank you so much for sharing that story, and I'm so happy that you are out of that shitty relationship and into one that is, hopefully a lot more communicative and reciprocal.
It is, I would say, leagues ahead.
Amazing. I feel like.
Excellent. Yes, thank you for your honesty and your bravery on coming on our little show. It's not the easiest thing to do. I've not done it as a guest. I don't know if I have the balls to do it. So well done to everyone that comes on our show and shares their story. Readers at home, I hope you enjoy the stories or continue doing so. And if you are, why don't you throw us a rate or a review or a like or share our show to someone? Someone you know will get something out of this podcast.
Yeah, if you are listening to this going, oh my God, that's just like so and so, then you send this link to them and be like, don't listen to me, listen to these guys, because they know some stuff. All right, if you would like to be a guest, you can go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast and fill in our little form. Catch us on any of the social medias. But in the meantime, thank you, Faith. Thank you, Tom. And just don't be someone's maid in a relationship. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.